How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, welcome to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We are the Rain and Jays, John Corrales and Jay King, welcoming you to another show, thanking you for downloading us. However it is that you download us, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, the TuneIn app, whatever podcatcher you might have, thanks for downloading us. I do want to apologize if you tried listening to the last show. We had a technical glitch that cut the show off just about the middle. You got 16 or 17 minutes of the show, and the show was about 40 minutes long. We were under the impression it was fixed before. Now we are told it is fixed. So if you want to go back and listen to our discussion about the shooting guards, because we've been going position by position all week, if you want to go back and catch our discussion about the shooting guards, that should have updated in your feed. Go back and you can hear that and listen to us talk about Avery Bradley and all of those guys. Today, we're going to be
talking... You get what you pay for with the Locked On Celtics.
Today, we're doubling. We will give you a podcast free. Today's podcast is free. We're talking about small forwards today. And today's show, by the way, brought to you by SeatGeek. Download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, enter the code LOCELTICS. You will get $20 back from your first ticket purchase on any sporting or music venue, whatever. Your first purchase, you get $20 back with the code LOCELTICS. Okay, so the Celtics small forward position, it's interesting breaking these positions down, Jay, because so much is so fluid, and we talk about positional versatility. That's the buzz phrase now. Positional versatility. Guys who used to be tweeners are now positionally versatile.
And there you go. I was hoping you would struggle more with that, but you got it together.
I got it through. I was about 98% on that. And Jay Crowder is one of those guys. Jay Crowder, who will be the starting three, and that is without a doubt, he will be the starting three. But he's a guy that will be asked to guard twos. He'll be asked to guard threes, fours, maybe a five every once in a while. So let's look at Jay Crowder a little bit better this year, because we've talked a little bit on these shows about the steps forward that guys can make this upcoming season. When we talk about becoming more efficient and where certain points are going to come from, and how good this team can really be, there are certain guys who can take steps forward. Jay Crowder, I think, is one of those guys where he has the ability to maybe improve his three-point shooting percentage.
And that's the one we always talk about, right? Like, every player, oh, what can they improve? Shooting, 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 shooting. He needs an uptick. That's it.
That's true. I mean, everybody's shooting should get better, needs to get better. And look, even if you're a great shooter, it'd be great if your shooting got better, but the Celtics need shooting to get better all across the board. And another weakness of his is being able to go left and kind of not be as predictable on his drives, which this season, I think, because he was such a threat from three and improved three-point shooter, that he was able to kind of put the ball on the floor, go right down the middle of the lane, and score a lot. But I think teams are going to be able to game plan for him a little bit more this year not like 82 games wasn't enough time to game plan, but I think it's just something that's more part of what they're looking for when trying to stop the Celtics and trying to stop him individually. He's a guy you have to game plan for. He's a threat. So I think that those are two of the things that he needs to work on. And I guess the question is will he be able to do it?
What's weird about Crowder's shooting splits is that he actually shot better from three-point distance as a whole, which his percentage was 33.6, than he did from the corner, which was 32.9%. Like, for whatever reason, that shot is normally a lot easier for guys from the corner, and Jay Crowder didn't shoot that well. If he can return to his career average, which is actually 38% from the corner, and still shoot three-pointers as well as he did from the above the break, then all of a sudden he might get up to like 35-36%, and then you have something. And then all of a sudden that's a little bit more efficient. And with the driving that he added to his game last year, with all the defense that he gives you, with the steals and the versatility you talked about and all of that, he would be an even more valuable player than he already is. So I do think there's an uptick left in three-point shooting in him. I don't think he'll ever be like one of these Kyle Korver types or anything like that. But there's definitely, if he can get to 36%, it's like a lot of these guys. Like, you don't expect a huge jump, but if they can improve just a few percent, that's a big deal, because in the NBA, small boosts are a big deal. The top, you know, the number one offense and the number 10 offense, it's like just a few points away from each other. So that's a big deal. He just got so much better last season. And one thing that has always impressed me, I think we've talked about this before on the podcast, or not that has always impressed me, that impressed me last season, he became good as a small forward. The year before, he just kind of took advantages of mismatches when he played four, and he was so much more effective in small lineups. This past season, it didn't matter. Big lineups, small lineups, giant lineups, wherever he was a good, valuable player. And he scored efficiently. He played defense. He guarded a lot of guys. For a long time, there was a legitimate question about whether Jay Crowder was the most valuable player on the Celtics. And obviously, he got hurt down the stretch. Didn't have at all a great series against the Hawks, but that's how good he was last year. And the Celtics will be expecting maybe even more from him this year.
I would think so. I think, and there were definitely times where we compared his impact to the Celtics to a lesser degree than to what Draymond Green was giving the Golden State Warriors. Obviously not comparing them as players and their ability as players, but impact on their respective teams, similar in that, you know, you wouldn't look at him as the best player on the team, but maybe the most valuable. Definitely, look, I think there are situations where he can take, I guess, a little more balanced shooting. He has this weird shot where he kicks his foot out. He actually got called for a couple of offensive fouls on that last season. I think sometimes guys get into that habit. I'd like to see maybe a little more balance in his jumper, where he's kind of just going a little more straight up and down. Maybe if we're looking at technical things that guys do that might throw their shots off a little bit. Because when you do that, sometimes when you're tired, you fade back a little bit more. Your shot goes a little bit off. But that's nitpicking. But look, that nitpicking, and as Brad Stevens always loves to say, the devil's in the details. It's those little fine details that take you from good to great. So guys get into those habits for whatever reason, and if you can just get into a little more balanced jump shot, then maybe that percentage will go from 33% to 35%. And that 2 or 3% raise in his shooting percentage, that's a big deal. That could be the difference in close games. That just makes him a lot more of a threat. It just draws the defender that much closer to him. It allows him to do a lot more. So if we're looking for technical things that he can do better, that's one of the things that I think he can do better.
Yeah, and obviously, like, he's just a fierce dude.
Oh, yeah, he's an animal. I love it.
That's a scary mofo, man. Like, like, he is really an intimidating force. And he brings some of that spirit. Like, obviously, there are other guys in the Celtics who do it, like Marcus Smart and Avery Bradley is a super competitor. Isaiah Thomas, not really the same way as those guys because he's not as good a defensive player, but he's just as relentless as any of those guys, just as hard a worker. So when you get all those guys together, they have an edge to them. And I think Jake Crowder is a big part of that, but it's like a fun edge. And I do believe they know that last year, at least, they knew that they weren't as good as some of the teams they were playing. But they're like, screw it, man. We're going to go out there and we think we can beat these guys. And they're a fun team.
Yeah.
Jake Crowder was a lot of fun. Such an angry man on the court. Such an angry man sometimes after the game in press conferences. He's a very honest man, very honest guy. Whether he's talking about J.R. Smith after the elbow or, you know, Kevin Durant.
I was just going to say that. He was one of the first guys.
Leading to the Golden State Warriors.
He was one of the first guys early in the season to call out Brad Stevens about the rotations and the lack of.
He called out Brad Stevens like a week after he was traded to the Celtics.
Yeah,
it was like, yeah, we don't have enough accountability here. This needs to change. It's like,
amazing.
Bro, you just got here a week ago. You don't even know. You probably don't even know the guy's name.
It's hilarious, but that's just who he is. So that intensity will be good. I think we know what to expect from Jay Crowder, and it doesn't really warrant a whole lot of discussion. He just needs to shoot a little bit better and maybe vary up his drives, work on his handle a little bit. The question with him, it's just like the rest of the backcourt and the perimeter, we know who's starting, but what happens to what happens when that guy comes out? What happens when Jay Crowder is subbed out of the game? Who comes in? That's the big question. One possibility is Jaylen Brown. Now, I know Jaylen Brown. We saw him in Summer League. We saw him. We see the YouTube videos or the Instagram clips or the Vines or whatever. He's already putting down highlights, which means fans are definitely going to want to buy tickets to see him play. And the best way to get tickets to see Jaylen Brown play and see maybe you can catch one of those highlights is to download the SeatGeek app. Let's just bring this into the 21st century here. Forget about going to whatever other site you want to go to. We know you live on your phone. This phone, my hand has morphed into a claw that's perfectly fit for my phone. I'm always on my phone. So why shouldn't I buy tickets through my phone? And that's why I downloaded the SeatGeek app. Okay. Everything is a lot simpler. We've moved forward. It's simplified. You can go to the web if you want, but the app is right on the phone. And the cool thing about this app, when I was looking around last week, looking for maybe to go to the Red Sox game, all of these little dots all over the stadium, and the green dots tell you that that's a good deal, and the red dots say, yeah, maybe that's not the best bang for your buck. So when you download the app, you just look through that, you find the place you want to sit, you find the green dot, you press on that, click, 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 boom, you got tickets. And you don't have to print anything out. You just show them the tickets. You could be walking to the Garden, say, I think I want to go in and check out this game tonight. Pull out the app, click, 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 boom, walk on in. Nothing. You don't have to worry about going back and finding a printer or any of that stuff. And here's where it gets really good.
I think it's been good already, but continue, man.
It gets better.
This is getting good.
This is better. Not only can you do all of this, not only is it easy, not only do they make the whole thing simple, when you download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, you put in LO Celtics on your first ticket purchase, you get $20 back. So, very simple. It's a simple way to use the app. It's a simple way to get tickets. You get $20 back on your first purchase with the promo code LO Celtics. So download the SeatGeek app today, and you'll be able to go check out Jaylen Brown, who we're looking at as a potential backup for Jay Crowder. So let's look at how will Jaylen Brown really fit. How much time is he going to get here? How much is he going to be depended on in the Celtics offense? Or will he just be a guy that goes in there and kind of is asked to defend because he's so athletic and a pretty good defensive player? And just kind of hope that he just finds some overflow offense and maybe he can earn a bunch of minutes early on that way.
Yeah, I have no idea what to expect. I don't think he'll have a huge rookie year just because Celtics have a lot of really good players and he won't get too much playing time. But does he play three? Does he play four? Does he play two even? Like, he can do so many things potentially. And shooting, I don't think, will be one of them right away, but we'll see. He might be a better shooter than we expect. I don't know. Brad Stevens was on Bill Simmons's podcast recently and talked a lot about the versatility of Jaylen Brown and how helpful it is to have guys who can guard multiple positions. And obviously Jaylen Brown is just like a next level athlete. Like, this kid is an absolute specimen. He's strong. He's fast. He has a 7-foot wingspan, which is 3 inches longer than big man Kelly Olynyk. Like, he is the prototypical wing body and size and athleticism. He's a freak. He's an absolute powerful athletic freak, but he's got to be able to play basketball. And I think he's going to make mistakes. Like, he's going to do a spin move into a defender and he's going to look stupid at times, but I think the Celtics have to let him play through that. And I think he'll do enough good things, enough positive things, like steals, deflections, alley-oop dunks. He will be a highlight guy. I think he'll do enough of that he'll earn some playing time. And again, I don't know whether it'll be at the four sometimes. I suspect it'll be mostly at the three. And the Celtics don't have a lot of size. Like, he's one of the few guys behind Jay Crowder with size. So Jaylen Brown they kind of need him to develop into something. I don't know what they need from him. I don't know what he'll be, but it would be really helpful if he can play a role.
Well, let's look at this. There's 48 minutes to be played at the small forward position. So Jay Crowder is going to get about 32 of them. So there's six.
But some of those will be at power forward too.
Right. So let's say, 32 minutes for Jay Crowder. Let's say he plays 32 minutes a game. You know, they might need him to play a little bit more, but we'll go with what he averaged last year. Yes, he will play some at the four, which we'll talk about in the next show. But Marcus Smart, who I guess we're going to talk about in every one of these positions, is going to get some of those minutes when they go small. We know, we've talked about the Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart. Throw those guys out in the backcourt. Why not? And so that's in that scenario, you probably have Jay playing the four and you probably throw him out there with Horford. Man, that's a good defensive team. Holy crap, that's a good defensive team. I just thought about that for a second. That would be so that's one scenario. So Marcus gets some time there. Jalen's going to get a few minutes here and there. What are we looking at? What do we think? 10, 12 minutes a game for Jaylen Brown?
I bet he plays 10 to 15, somewhere around there, and see what happens. I do think that the big question about him, and we'll get to big guys soon, but I think this deserves mentioning when we're talking about wings, how much four can he play? Obviously, he's strong enough. He's going to be the type of guy where he can definitely shift over to power forward and play in small ball lineups. And that might ultimately be the position that he's best at. Like, he is built kind of similar to Jay Crowder, except with more and more fast twitch muscles. So I want to know how long it takes him to become that power forward. The guy I keep thinking about, and I've said this before, Justice Winslow. And Justice Winslow came into the Heat, and he's kind of the same build as Jaylen Brown. I don't think he's quite as athletic. He's definitely not as athletic as Jaylen Brown, but he was able to play four, and he even played some five sometimes in like some funky lineups for the Miami Heat, and it worked. And he was valuable because he could play so many positions right away. Now, Jaylen Brown isn't as advanced defensively. Justice Winslow came in the NBA, and he was kind of like Marcus Smart in that he just knew when to shift, and he knew the rotation. options, and he was not at all like your normal rookie. I think Jaylen Brown is more like a normal rookie, but he's also just such a difference making athlete and so powerful. So I want to see how long it takes him to learn how to make an impact at the power forward position, because I think once he learns that, holy crap, imagine some fours in the league trying to guard Jaylen Brown, man. Like, he is just going to blow by those guys.
Yeah.
And if he can guard bigger fours and he can still get by everyone, that okay. Yes. Yes, please. But I don't know how long it's going to take him to develop into that where he can guard fours at the NBA level.
Right. This is we're just guessing. This is really just a big guessing game with Jaylen Brown, because we've only seen Summer League, and you just don't know how many guys have dominated Summer Leagues and had great highlights in Summer Leagues that just never materialize in the NBA. So it's impossible to know exactly what he'll be. His college track record, not very good. Good enough, but not great. But look, the Celtics and Brad Stevens especially were looking at him. They targeted him. They got the guy. That's the guy they wanted. And he has the raw tools. But a lot of guys have the raw tools. He has the work ethic.
Did you see the video of him with his shirt off? He's kind of built like you, John.
Oh, yeah, man. He's ripped to shreds. He's ripped to shreds.
Built just like you.
We always, yeah. I mean, I don't like to talk about my awesome physique. Built by Sam Adams. He's in good shape. And he's spent this summer. We know he spent this summer working out with Marcus Smart. We know he spent this summer working out with Jimmy Butler. The videos that we've seen, I would assume, are indicative of the types of workouts that he's been going through, and not just some staged little thing. That's legitimately part of what he's been doing to work out. So, yeah, I feel like you've got a supremely talented, one of the top athletes in the league, who's obviously very raw, but working really, really hard already to get himself ready for his rookie year. And then on top of it all, he's got Brad Stevens and there and that whole crew of coaches to mold him. They've been given, as Bill Simmons said in the podcast, this toy, this great toy to play with. And you have to imagine that Brad Stevens is like a kid on Christmas, like, oh my God, I get to do all this stuff with Jaylen Brown, and we get to mold him and craft his game and get him to kind of play the way you want a guy like that to play, and hopefully not learn any bad habits. And he's also in a great position with the teammates. Again, as Coach Stevens mentioned in that Simmons podcast, he's got veterans around him. They're going to push him, really work him hard in a good way, and he's not going to have any easy matchups in practice. He's going to have to guard Jay Crowder. He's going to have to guard even Jonas Jerebko. Those guys aren't easy to guard, and Marcus Smart's going to guard him. Jay Crowder's going to guard him.
Yeah, and they all present different challenges. Like, if you guard Avery Bradley, you're running around screens and chasing him around dribble handoffs. If you guard Jay Crowder, he's super physical. You got to play him very, very differently. If you guard Jonas Jerebko, you better get a damn hand up, man. So just a lot of different types of players that he'll be defending at practice, and crafty veterans who all work really hard. There are a lot of guys who set good examples in that locker room for Jaylen Brown. So we'll see. We'll see what happens, man. I'm excited to see what he brings to the table as a rookie. I think at the very least he'll provide some thrilling moments.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And it is important to make note, as we're trying to be optimistic here and look at the positives, there are times where he's really going to suck. That's just the nature of the beast. We have to prepare ourselves for that. And I know what's going to happen. that he's going to have a bad stretch. Like every rookie has a bad stretch. And guys, people on Twitter are going to be just killing him and killing Ainge. Like, oh my God, this is what we drafted at number three. Like, just give it time, guys. Give it time. And let's kind of see what he develops into. But
see, I think people go the other way. If he shows flashes, like let's say he has a spurt here and a spurt there and this huge dunk there, and sometimes, you know, he shows that he can guard a four, and other times he's making life hell on, you know, some three. I think people will be patient with him. I mean, he's 19, man. Everyone knows this kid has flaws. Everyone knows he's not coming into the league as a ready-made prospect. He was a guy, he didn't have like this huge dominant season in college. He admitted, like, I thought I was going to have a better season at California. And he still has a lot of holes, but I do think he'll show flashes of like, holy hell, this dude can do some things that nobody else on the Celtics and very few people in the NBA can do.
Right. That's just how it's going to be, that he's just so supremely athletic that he's going to be able to do some things. But, you know, I just want to see how it goes, see what he gets into. I know some people are going to be impatient, and maybe those people who are impatient are people who have actual high paying radio shows. So just throwing that out there.
Yeah, true. Yeah, those guys aren't really patient. They're just the epitome of patience.
It's not their job to be patient. It's their job to get you riled up and get you to listen and get you to call up and complain and make me tweet about them so they get more attention, which I swear I've got to stop doing. I really got to stop doing that. But I admit sometimes it's so easy to push my buttons with those guys that I can't help it. Okay. I guess that's it for the small forwards. I mean, we know Gerald Green. We've already talked about Gerald Green. He'll get some minutes there. If RJ Hunter is around and contributing, or James Young, those guys will get minutes there. Jonas Jerebko might, but he shouldn't. He struggles as a three. He should be a stretch four, and
he'll get emergency minutes tops at three.
Yeah.
They know he's no three.
Right. But we'll see it sometimes. So, but that's pretty much what we're looking at. We're looking at Jay Crowder and then a mix of Smart and small lineups, Gerald Green potentially in some bigger lineups, or just different lineups. And then Jaylen Brown unleashed from time to time, and hopefully he could take advantage of some of the matchups and some poor defenders, and he can give us some highlights and show some growth throughout the season. And more, we're more looking for him to show some flashes of what he could be in 2 and 3 years. So those are the small forwards. I guess tomorrow we'll talk about the bigs. And that will be our positional previews for the week, getting us primed for next week when media day and training camp kind of gets underway. Wow. It's coming soon, man. It's coming soon. Basketball
is coming. Finally. I could just about hear the shoes squeaking already.
Oh, that's such a great sound. Bouncing. I could sit there. It's almost like white noise to me. I just listen to sneakers squeaking and the basketball dribbling, and it's such a beautiful sound. It's like a symphony. I love it. Okay. Reminder, check out the rest of the network, Locked On NBA, Locked On Fantasy. They're really going to be doing some great shows and get you ready for your fantasy teams. Check out our friends at FanRag Sports and Today's Fast Break. If you go to fanragsports.com, click on Today's Fast Break, and you'll get all of your NBA news in one spot. You can check out the Celtics news. They've got it aggregated there, and our podcast is there too. So if you're just kind of cruising around, you want to get some of the Celtics news and listen to us while you're reading some of that stuff, by all means, do that. If this is your first time listening, be sure to subscribe. Search Locked On Celtics wherever it is you get your podcast normally. Just search Locked On Celtics, subscribe, give us that 5-star rating, and you're on your way to some great Celtics shows and great Celtics content. And if you want tickets, remember, download that SeatGeek app, put in the promo code LOCELTICS in the settings tab. After your first ticket purchase, you're going to get $20 back. So that's the show. We'll talk to you tomorrow here on the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.